It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the pandemic has had a big impact on the lives of women all over the country. A new survey explores the experiences of women in northeastern Wisconsin. First, President Biden was in Philadelphia yesterday with some of his strongest words so far about GOP voting restrictions that have been passed in states around the country. The speech comes after a Democratic push to overhaul elections on the federal level failed to get enough support last month, and as Democrats are looking at new ways to combat what they call voter suppression. We'll talk about that and the latest on infrastructure in our weekly look at the top stories in Washington. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about changes in voting laws being passed in states around the U.S.? Do you worry that they're restricting, maybe unfairly restricting voting rights? Or do you think we need some tighter laws in Wisconsin and elsewhere? Are there changes you want to see? Do you want to see the federal government step in and put limits on the limits that states could put in? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Francesca Chambers is the White House correspondent for McClatchy. Francesca, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, I want to start with that speech from President Biden yesterday. Here's a listen to a bit of it.
There's an unfolding assault taking place in America today, an attempt to suppress and subvert the right to vote in fair and free elections, an assault on democracy, an assault on liberty, an assault on who we are as Americans.
Francesca, what stood out to you about what we heard from the president on voting rights yesterday?
Well, President Biden drew a direct line between what he referred to as the quote unquote big lie in the last election that he said that some Republicans are pushing, and that of the 2022, but both midterms, national elections. The Democrats believe that their coalition is under threat by this, the White House making that both in the president's speech, but elsewhere, a key part of their argument now. It's something that we've also heard from Vice President Kamala Harris in recent days as well. She gave a speech on this too. So both the president and vice president getting more vocal on this issue.
There's been a couple different responses. On the Republican side, Republicans are saying, hey, wait, we're making some tweaks to voting laws in states. We're making sure elections are secure and fair. Can you talk about the response to these accusations on the Republican side?
So Republicans are making the argument that they are not making it too hard for people to vote who are eligible voters, that, as you said, that they're putting reasonable restrictions on these things. And they cite polling that they say shows that many Americans support these additional restrictions. And you also have in some states like Texas, however, where even since what they originally had in the bill, they have lessened some of what was in there in order to respond to some of the critiques that are coming from Democrats, such as Democrats saying that it would be too onerous on people to say that they can't vote, you know, at certain times, whether that be weekends or later in the evening. Things like that are what are mainly under discussion at this point.
There's also been criticism from Democrats that, okay, some strong words here from Biden, but not much in the way of action. What's been the response from the left side of the Democratic Party?
Well, many progressives would like to see President Biden say that he supports either doing away with the filibuster or enacting serious reforms to it now. There's also been some sort of suggestion that perhaps you could just make an exception for voting rights when it comes to the filibuster. So there are various different ways that they would like to see him go about it, but no doubt that there is a building support for reforms or getting rid of the filibuster. And they want to see President Biden lead the charge on that because they believe that if he were to tell senators, he was a former senator, that this is his position on it, that they would listen to him as leader of the party.
There were a couple efforts, as I mentioned, to pass a couple voting rights laws. Where are they right now? Are they just dead in the water? Are they kind of on hold? What's going on?
Well, already in the U.S. Senate, one of those bills that you just referred to, it wasn't able to clear the procedural hurdle that we're referring to when we talk about the filibuster as it currently is. And Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer has said that he reserves the right to bring that legislation or any other legislation back up for a vote again. At the same time, Democrats and Republicans are trying to work on a bipartisan infrastructure bill. And of course, the president would also like to see a budget pass that includes much of his family's plan. And so the Senate certainly has its work cut out for them if they plan to leave on time for their August recess.
We're talking to Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy, looking at some of the top stories from the nation's capital right now, looking at voting rights, voting access, a speech from the president yesterday accusing Republicans in states around the country of infringing on voting rights. You can join in with your thoughts on that, your questions, too, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Francesca, staying with voting rights, you wrote recently that Democrats are shifting their strategy on these voting rights issues. What are you seeing?
Well, if you look at the Democratic National Committee, for instance, they're now putting $25 million towards an effort that the vice president introduced last week that they say will hope to engage voters and help to protect them in the next election. And this really does go back to what I was referring to before, that if they cannot get the kind of federal election reforms that they would like to see, then they are looking for other ways in order to protect voters, they say, including through this DNC effort. There are other outside groups that are putting money towards this as well. And the irony of it, though, is, of course, as they start to look outside Washington for ways to fix this, everyone else is looking to Washington, whether it be to President Joe Biden or whether it be to some of these senators whose minds they hope to change on voting for this legislation.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Rick is with us in Ironwood, Michigan. Rick, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Rick?
I just find that the Democrats push now towards expanding voting rights a little bit disingenuous when they start to talk about democracy, because last year they sued to get the Green Party off the ballot in several states. And it's one thing to expand voting access, which I absolutely agree with, but at the same time, if we don't have ability for anyone to run for office and expand ballot access, that's not really an expansion of democracy, I don't think.
Rick, thanks a lot for the call. Francesca, there's the two parties have a kind of an inside track to get onto ballots around the country. That said, on either side, whatever Republicans are advancing, whatever Democrats are advancing, it doesn't seem like ballot access has been at the center of it, unless I'm missing something.
This currently is regarding the access in terms, well, ballot access, it depends on how you define that. If we're talking about right. ballot access, if we're talking about the access of whether or not you can automatically be sent a ballot without requesting a ballot, then certainly that's part of this debate. And the Republican Party would like to see more laws in place that make sure that ballots don't get sent out to people who haven't requested absentee ballots. And they certainly would like to crack down on some of the laws that we saw during the pandemic that made it easier for people to vote remotely, vote, you know, not vote in person, that sort of thing. So it depends on, I guess, how we're defining ballot access. But the other part of what's been at the center of this debate also, and what Republicans are pointing to, is this idea of voter identification and whether or not someone should have to be able to present a government ID in order to be able to vote. That is been something that Republicans have been pushing for a long time, but it has come back around as we have these discussions as well.
Thanks for the call, Rick, at 800-642-1234. And Francesca, some drama going on with voting laws in Texas. The Democratic portion of the Texas legislature left the state, avoiding a quorum that Republicans need to pass their election changes that you mentioned a little while ago. They're in Washington, D.C. now, I believe. What's going on there?
Well, they were trying to prevent the legislature from getting a quorum in order to be able to pass through the voting law that you're referring to when they met yesterday in Washington, D.C. with Vice President Harris. But the other thing that they're trying to do is put pressure, as we talk about the filibuster, on members of the United States Senate in order to get rid of the filibuster, because there are two different tracks that you can approach this. You can take a state by state approach and try to tackle legislation that way, or you can talk about those national laws and potential voting reforms. And they would like to see those put in place in order to not have to fight this on a state by state basis.
We're talking to Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for McClatchy. She's with us for our weekly roundup of the top stories in Washington. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Congress change how elections are run, set more federal guidelines than there currently are for states to follow? And coming up, we'll take a look at infrastructure, two tracks still running, still not done. What do you think? What do you want to see happen there? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up now our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. Francesca Chambers stays with us from McClatchy. Let's go to another caller now on the voting rights issue at 800-642-1234 with Alex in Milwaukee. Alex, hi.
Hi.
Well, what did you want to ask about, Alex?
So I'm just curious as to really how this whole process works and why it's so difficult. Like, you learn about how, you know, you're a U.S. citizen, you have the right to vote. I'm not a U.S. citizen, so I'm not super familiar with this whole process, but I'm just curious as to, like, why is this so difficult? And if, you know, all these Republicans are saying that, you know, the election was fraudulent, then what about everything else that was on the ballot?
Alex, thanks a lot for the call. I think this is a common question asked by observers from other countries, Francesca. Why things are so complicated, why rules for elections can be so different from one state to another. Why is it confusing to an outsider looking in like Alex?
Well, there are different election laws for different states, and that's part of what's under discussion here as we talk about whether there should be federal legislation. Is the federal government, some Democrats wanting the federal government to have a heavier hand in those, to make those laws more uniform? But the direction they would make them more uniform in is to expand what they see as voter access. And so that is part of the debate here, is not just about what those laws should include. It is whether or not the federal government should be taking a heavier hand in it. And Republicans would say that it should be left up to the states.
Thanks a lot for that call, Alex, at 800-642-1234. What are you watching for next, Francesca, on this voting rights debate?
Well, as we just talked about before, the Senate has much to do before their August recess, or much they'd like to do before they get to leave on their August recess. And so some civil rights leaders have said that they would like to see the Senate take this up before they leave for that recess. That's their ideal, but they understand, given the debate going on about infrastructure, if that does not happen. However, there are also people who believe that if they can't get this done now, that they don't know when they would be able to go back to voting rights this year, given that the budget process will also be coming up soon. And then, of course, next year is an election year. And in Washington, it's much tougher to get things done when an election's just around the corner.
Thanks a lot for that call, Alex, at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Patrick now in Stoughton. Patrick, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Patrick?
I wanted to bring up, isn't there part of the Fourth Amendment states that the Congress can act at any time to ensure the integrity of federal elections? I'm sure that that's not exactly the wording of it, but some are arguing that those particular sentences in the Fourth Amendment would allow the Democrats to act without the filibuster. And just have a simple majority, because the Constitution specifically says at any time. It doesn't say after, you know, a debate closing is done.
Gotcha.
What is, well, I,
Patrick, okay. Thanks for the call. And I think, Patrick, about the 14th Amendment. I think fourth is illegal search and seizure sorts of things. But I think there's been some argument out there, Francesca, pointing toward the 14th Amendment saying, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, the federal government, Congress in particular, does have more authority than they've taken, that they've assumed to regulate what goes on in states. Is that something you're hearing in actual congressional debate?
That is not currently what's at the center of the debate in Washington. That's not to say that that's not like part of the debate, but that is not currently what's at the center of the debate that's taking place in Washington right now.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Francesca Chambers from McClatchy, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Let's turn now, Francesca, to the perennial topic of this segment, infrastructure. Two tracks going on. What is the latest there?
Well, with infrastructure, it's been quite a wild ride, and that wild ride continues as we head towards that recess. The two tracks are that there's the bipartisan infrastructure deal that President Biden has signed off on with a group of Republicans and Democrats. And then there is also the legislation that is basically going to manifest itself in the way of the 2022 budget that will include many of the president's other priorities that will no longer be in the infrastructure bill, that some of which were originally in what the president wanted to deal with in infrastructure. And so the way that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has put it is without one, you can't have the other. And that's initially how the president put it, too. But he backed off of that after it seemed like it was putting that deal in jeopardy. But so long as the House Speaker says that unless there is that catch-all bill that Democrats want, that there wouldn't also be this other infrastructure legislation, then it could present problems for this deal getting done.
Let's bring on a caller now. Jim is with us in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question of your guest of the topic she just spoke about. Has she heard anything? She's more politically knowledgeable than the rest of us. Is whether Donald Trump and his allies are going to try to sabotage the bipartisan infrastructure bill by threatening Republicans with being primaried if they go along with the proposed bipartisan deal? That's my question to your guest. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for the call. And Francesca, I think I have seen that, in fact, former President Trump has criticized Republican senators who were at least tentatively on board with this deal. What are we seeing there?
Well, what he's most concerned about, though, is Republicans who voted for his impeachment. The people that he is targeting with primaries and recruiting candidates against are the ones who voted for him to be impeached. And in some of those races, he still hasn't made endorsements yet. I've been told that he and his team are still looking at the candidates, trying to figure out who they think would be the best candidate in some of those Republican primaries. But that has been a driving factor for him in terms of whether he seeks to retaliate against these Republicans. But he also doesn't want to see, when it comes to infrastructure, he's made it quite clear that he doesn't want to see anything that would unravel the 2017 tax bill, which was arguably his signature piece of legislation, is those 2017 tax cuts.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Francesca, let's talk about key players on each part of this infrastructure effort. First of all, the bipartisan one, trying to do it with 60 votes. Five Republicans seem squarely-ish on board. Who is out there in sort of the gray area right now?
Well, there are a couple Republicans who were even part of this original group that now say that they're concerned, and that would include Republican Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas. You also have Mike Rounds, who's part of that group as well. And part of what they're saying is not necessarily that they're not going to support it now. They want to see what's in the details. They want to see how this plays out, because it's one thing to have an agreement in part. It's another thing when ink gets put to paper and various things could change with that. They also just have listed categories of spending in this initial agreement, and those could play out when you write out the specifics in many different ways. So they would like to see what the legislative text says and potential changes that could be made through the amendment process before they give their full support to this is generally what those Republicans have been saying on Capitol Hill.
And then on the reconciliation side, the one where Democrats would go alone on all the rest of the stuff, is that a slam dunk in the Senate?
Well, all the rest of the stuff is now in question as well, because they have agreed, in principle at least, to a $3.5 trillion bill, which is not as high as some Democrats, such as Bernie Sanders, would have wanted to see. So it won't include all of the things that they had, that at least some Democrats had wanted in this particular bill, but it will include largely what the president has called his human infrastructure or the care infrastructure, things like paid family leave. That is expected to be in that bill. But the White House has also said that it will include some climate initiatives and other things like that as well. And in order, though, to get all the Democrats in the Senate to support this, as well as progressives in the House, because there's very little margin for error in the House, too, is still a very tricky line that the president is going to have to walk. And that's why he was on Capitol Hill today, meeting with some Senate Democrats at their weekly party luncheon.
Now, I dimly recall, Francesca, that Congress often steps away for a bit in August. Is there a time crunch here with that in mind?
Well, it's unclear if the intent at this point is to completely get through that 2022 budget, which is what you're referring to when we're talking about reconciliation now. It sounds like, based on what Leader Schumer has said, that there could be a scenario in which that part of it doesn't get done until later. But again, the problem with that is that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has made it clear that she wants to take the votes in tandem. And so given that situation, it could create a situation where they don't get it all done before August recess. But that is not what the White House wants to see here. And it's certainly not what most Democrats want to see happen here either.
Francesca, in just our last minute, we focused on voting rights and infrastructure. What else do you have your eye on, the big story under the radar, at least as compared to those two issues?
Well, it may not be under the radar, but it certainly isn't housed in Congress. Definitely the assassination of the Haiti president, that will have potentially a big impact on U.S. foreign policy, or at least we're learning more about President Biden's foreign policy. Of course, we also see the protests that are taking place in Cuba right now. So in addition to domestic policy, lots on the foreign policy front facing this president in this White House right now.
Francesca, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
That was Francesca Chambers. She's the White House correspondent at McClatchy. We talked to her today about the latest on infrastructure and voting rights as part of our weekly look at some of the top stories in news from Washington.